saw right through to the 33rd of Isaiah, and verses 16 and 17. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Isaiah 33, verses 16 and 17. What took my notice in these verses was this: his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. And it was just what I felt to need, a defense. I know the other part takes us very high, but still, if the Lord by His Spirit would keep us in His fear, that we speak nothing but what we have tasted, handled, and felt, we shall be safe. I increasingly feel that there is a danger in speaking of things that may be beyond one's experience. In these my latter days, I fear many more things than I used to. And that fear you will find in the preceding verse, because that is the character to whom these precious promises are given. In the 15th verse is the character to whom it is spoken. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, that shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Now what a character. Really, that 15th verse is a definition of the fear of God in his tactics. But I come short when I look at it, and yet I covet to live in that 15th verse. But this is the character to whom these promises are made. Walk righteously. And there's a walk. There's walking out our profession as well as talking it, my friends. And this is the most difficult thing. That walk it righteously, and then there's the speaking. If you look at this 15th verse, it makes me tremble at the sight of myself. But at the same time, are there not moments when you really feel and confess before the Lord, Lord, I would be holy. And yet, right on the top of it, you have to say that I'm unholy needs no proof. I sorely feel the fall. Well then, where is such a sinner to look? Why, the righteousness of his people is in the Lord. Their holiness is his holiness. But I do feel that a consideration of this 15th verse may be used to put many crooked things straight in our lives. So you see, there's walking righteously and speaking uprightly. If you take this as a measure, a rule, a plumb line, and a spirit level in your life, we shall find very much that is crooked. But what a mercy to have the fear of God and to bring our case and condition before Him. If we possess this fear of God, there would be a summing up. Because the fear of God registers our walk and our talking. And then the next thing there is covetousness. That despises the gain of oppression. I've seen that in this 15th verse, that I've longed for the Lord to square me by it. Now, for things to put my house in order according to that verse. It speaks to us and tells us what we want done. The Lord said to Hezekiah, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. So there's walking righteously, speaking uprightly, and then there is the question of covetousness. He that despises the gain of oppressions, and that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. You see, the different members of the body which are influenced by the fear of God. Oh, I do wish I could live like that, don't you? I'll read that verse once more because that is the character to whom this promise is given. He that walketh righteously, speaketh uprightly, despiseth the gain of oppressions, shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. And is of a blessed condition. Well, we need the grace of God to help us so to live. But then this is the promise to that character. He shall dwell on high. There's a word to my mind in the Proverbs that gives a little light upon that dwelling on high. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Two things there. The way of life is above to the wise, that is, those that are made wise unto salvation. This character to whom we have referred, the way of life is above to him. It's above nature. It's above the groveling world. It is above carnal reason. It is of a different nature. It is above to the wise because it comes from above. It is a way that leads to the city of habitation, that he may depart from hell beneath. So that in that verse you see, there's only two ways. There's the way of life, which leads to eternal life, and there is the way to hell beneath. So that we are either among these blessed characters, he shall dwell on high. He will eventually, but he dwells on a high here, because he lives He lives by faith upon the Son of God. He lives by faith and not by sight. And he's no more a stranger and a foreigner, but a fellow citizen of the household of God. He shall dwell on high. Doesn't mean to say that he'll have a high opinion of himself. And yet, it will give an understanding of that word to Baruch in Jeremiah. Seekest thou great things for thyself, but seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. Now there is an injunction not to seek great things for ourselves. I think in the margin there is high things. But on the other hand, we seek the greatest things, greater things than ever this world can ever afford when we seek salvation. When we seek the Lord, and you'll be compelled to, as you're convinced of your state and condition, you'll seek the highest things that heaven has to give. And the greatest gift that heaven has to give is God's dear incarnate Son. You can't seek anything greater than that. But there, the prophet, he intended great things in this world. And naturally we do. We're always after something great naturally, the carnal mind. Religious people are always after that which is much, but better is a little that a righteous man hath than the riches of many wicked. So this high place are the things of God, the things of the gospel. He shall dwell on high. And the margin says heights or high places. We have the same thing even in the midst of adversity as spoken of in Habakkuk. You know the scripture. I'm speaking about this man who fears God, and whatever circumstances he comes into, however low he thinks, he should dwell on high, even in the midst of tribulations. For there it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I don't know what some therefore farmers would say. There was nothing right, all awry, adversity. But this man comes in here. Yet, notwithstanding all, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me walk upon mine high places. Oh, to have these high places, whatever your condition is, however low you sink, however great the opposition, however much affliction of body, yet, he says, yet, all that yet, we're going to hold you fast, my dear friends, in a day of trouble. Well, he says so just earlier. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. But he finishes up with his anchor firm in the rock. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Oh, happy souls. Blessed are the Lord's dear people. Doesn't matter where they are. And how their record in the Word of God is a support and comfort to those that follow on. We'll be a mercy if we're found among them. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. These munitions of rocks are the divine perfections and attributes of Jehovah, and they are all in Christ. Otherwise, they would not be a defense. Nothing could reach this earth except condemnation if it were not for the Lord Jesus taking human nature and becoming a mediator, a surety, a redeemer, a savior, a high tower, a place of defense. Oh, it makes him precious. Boy, it makes me tremble to think of that terrible man, if you can call him a man, that is attempting to show that blasphemous film. But I do think there is some sign that will not be allowed. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Then this man, this favored man, he has a need to be defended. And there are special things which he needs and which the Lord Jesus is the defense. And the first thing is that he needs to be defended against the holy, just, inexorable law of God. Our greatest enemy is the righteousness of Christ. You wonder why I say that. Because the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the law, demanding perfection. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. The law of God reflects his righteousness and must vindicate it. But the Lord Jesus is a defense. He came, was made of a woman, and made under that law. He's above the law, as he is God. But oh, his condescension. This is a defense. This is the shield. And he went to the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. And therefore he is a defense to his people from the condemnation of the law. And And therefore that other great promise comes in. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. These are the munitions of rocks. The Lord Jesus, in whom all the divine perfections meet. He is the rock itself. His work is perfect. It's perfect in two ways, mainly. It's perfect because He is perfect, who finished that work. And also it is perfect because it is absolutely complete. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Then again, see what a defense is the blood of the Lord Jesus. In Type, in Egypt, they were to sprinkle the doorposts, the lintels, with blood. And when the destroying angel went over the city, when he saw the blood, he passed over. A beautiful time. Now that belongs to his people. And that is the defense, the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we have the same word in Micah. He passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. In the Passover, the angel passed over. And there it is said that he passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He delighted in mercy. Now, he would never pass over a house that had not sprinkled with blood. And the only way by which he passes by the sins of his people is because the Lord did not pass by him. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Oh, that blessed man. Since that terrible blasphemy has been suggested, has made me feel sick. This glorious man. The Lord did not pass by him. Survey the wondrous cross and you'll see why he passed by you if he has forgiven your sins. This is the defense. Calvary. His precious blood. In that day shall a fountain be opened for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, how suitable the gospel is. What other defense have we? He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. And what a munition, what a defense is his righteousness. And it brings in the defense of his substitution. Otherwise, his righteousness could have no benefit to us. All the doctrines of the gospel are precious, but I have felt that the doctrine of substitution is one of the most blessed and strengthening doctrines of the gospel. What a defense that is. What a defense it will be at the last day. Because there's a record in heaven of one sort or another, one or two, for all of us here. and there's a witness in heaven, a faithful witness, the Lord Jesus. And if he's our substitute, then he will be our defense. Not only now as a mediator, to see instead of me is seen when I approach to God, but it will be there. There'll be one book brought out in that solemn aside, blessed for his people, and that is the Book of Life. Their names there, his substitute standing for them. Munition of rocks, the defense of the Lord Jesus in his person, in every office that he occupied and discharged for his people, in every character he assumed, he's a defense. And you join the two things together. Perhaps some of you have felt it even in the chapel. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense is the munition of rocks. You'll feel it. Because he will set you upon his high places. You take that high place in the second chapter to the Ephesians. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. I think that's a high place. And that's here. Oh, I believe some of you have felt it. I believe for a few moments in my life I felt it as I sat under the preaching of the gospel. It seems beyond experience. Raise us up together. Not with an angel, not with an apostle, but with Christ. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He shall dwell on high, high. Oh, it's sweet sometimes to be raised up by the Spirit upon the wings of faith. And leave this poor, dusty, crazy world under our own nature and its influence for a little while. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. And therefore his righteousness is a defense. And this too. His love. Why, my friends, the love of God in Christ is such that nothing can separate. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or sword? Nay. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, the defense of divine love. Well, what do you think about it? When you come to look at the 15th verse, look into your own heart, and look into the 16th verse. But have you ever been raised up a little on high? Have you ever felt communion with the Lord? Have you ever observed that which was promised to Nathaniel? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Thou shalt see the angels of the Lord ascending and descending upon the Son of God. And that is a type of the preaching of the gospel. If the Holy Ghost is with a minister, he rises and goes up and down in communion, in meditation, as those wheels in Ezekiel. the living spirit was in the wheels. And sometimes you're gathered up into the wheels as it is there. And your affections are drawn up out of those things which are eternal. And it's transforming. Oh, my friend, it is sweet for a little time to be raised up from the depths. And whereas you felt that there could be, if the word of God is true, you have felt yourself, well, you must go to hell if the word of God is true. But then the Lord gives you to realize that while He does not contradict that in your nature you deserve hell, but He doesn't allow your conclusion. It's very sweet when He doesn't allow you to conclude on your own case. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be at the munition of rocks. Bread shall be given him, and his water sure. And that is will hold good, both spiritually and naturally. Because David said, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now the Lord knows what his people have need of. This is spiritual bread and water. His waters shall be sure, bread shall be given him. He will be one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. If you look at that 15th verse and then come down onto the 16th verse, and you want him to have a token for good, be honest with yourself, and it would be very sweet to you to see whether you have ever dwelt on high. That is, in meditation, in private reading, or under the preaching of the gospel. For a little time you've been raised up from the influences of the earth and from yourself. The Christ has been made precious to you. That you've dwelt on high. The earth has lost its influence, its drawing power. And you have felt such a sweetness. It cannot be expressed better than in the 27th Psalm. One thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temples. A beautiful description of a sacred time of union, communion in the house of God. If so, then you are not without some experience of that 16th verse. And I would say it guardedly, and if that is so, the time will come when you will dwell on high in heaven. Because the following verse says, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Can hardly believe it, can you? Your poor eyes looked upon straightness, looked at yourself and felt sick of it, and the world and abhorred it. And also that you have looked at those things which have distressed you, and looked at the pathway of life, and wondered how you will continue. Those eyes shall behold, shall see the King in his beauty, and the land that is very far off. In the margin it is a land of far distances. That is, It's eternal glory, eternal peace, an eternal inheritance. And he will lead them by the springs, fountains of living waters, and wipe all tears from their eyes. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. You know, Job, if ever there was a man that passed through the deaths and afflictions and misrepresentations, it was Job. But you see, even in the midst of it, it came into the text. Surprising how the Lord can gather you in under divine teaching. He said, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eye shall behold, and not another." Blessed hope in the midst of tribulation. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. Oh, I have coveted it this morning. The Lord does it. He can raise you up in a moment. He can indeed. A Pilgrim's Progress that I had, which was my dear mother's. You know, the Pilgrim's Progress finishes like this. Then I saw that there was a way from the gate of heaven to hell. That was when Simple went over. He thought he was going to get to the gate of heaven, but he didn't. But this is the point. I saw that there was a way from the gate of heaven to hell. My dear mother's written under that. Blessed be God, there's a way from the gate of hell to heaven. Oh, what surprises some poor sinners have had when they've lifted up on high. I looked for hell. He brought me heaven. An experience you'd never forget. And when we come to look through life, my friends, and time is very short, oh, what inferior things are the things of this world. I won't say they're unimportant. I think of our dear young people. I'm careful there. Life is important. We are put here for a purpose. And we are answerable to the Lord for his natural gifts. If he's given us gifts, ability, intelligence, and we are an influence through life, and we should be loyal, industrious citizens, not strikers. But everything must end. And therefore, the book of Ecclesiastes, I could commend to our dear young people to read. And when you do read it, don't come to the conclusion that the works of God in this life in creation are vanity. They are not. Oh, since the fall, man, the best of man is as a thorn and all is vanity and vexation of spirit, except that you are brought to know and to find and to win Christ Jesus. Then there will be coming into this world, and we can take nothing out. And the Lord's people, blessed be God, do take something out of this world that they don't bring in. They take him out with them. They take the kingdom out with them. They take a finished work of grace out with them. Oh, my the Lord. Bless those three verses to you and to me. And don't miss out the 15th verse. And may he bring you and me through the 15th verse into the 16th, that we may dwell on high. And at last our poor eyes behold the King and his beauty, and enter into that land of far distances, illimitable, eternal glory.